Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Seize the world on kaya959.
I don't know where you're listening to us from. Maybe you listen to us from work. But if you make use of the Gautrain in Rosebank, you'll be listening to us from home, because you're not able to get to work.
Yeah, between Rosebank and Park Station.
Yeah, this is a conversation I felt we must have. It touches on a lot of things. It'll touch on geology, hydrology, law. And so let me just speak about a little bit that I know anyway. So generally, when you drill a borehole, Sol.
Yeah.
It will be on average a depth of like 120 meters deep, right? And the reason for that is if you speak to hydrologists or even geologists, there's something called an underwater table. So there's water that flows underground. And so when you drill a borehole, you then gain access to that water. But before you can do that, you must conduct an environmental survey or an environmental impact assessment, an EIA, which will tell you whether or not you are now restricting that water, because you're going to trap it now and it's for yourself.
Yeah.
So whether you will be restricting it for other people, for example,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
So if people downstream are using water and I drill a borehole upstream, they're obviously going to get less water down there.
Yeah,
makes sense. That's why you need the department to come in and tell you, okay, yes, that's fine, that's allowed, etc. and so on. So same thing if you're going to plant maybe timber, for example, right? Because the timber would also draw the water. And so once you've got all that and you got the permission from the municipality, then obviously a certified driller will come and drill your borehole, and they'll drill until they'll hit that table. So if they don't find it at 120 meters, they'll go further. They don't find it, they'll go further. They'll go down to maybe like, I don't know, 500 meters, depending on whether or not they can find the water. And then once you hit the water, you're good. They don't just drill randomly also. What they should do is a hydrologist should come and they should map out where the water table is. Because you're not just playing finder-finder, yeah. It's not a gamble.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Now, on the law aspect of things, we always speak about the fact that our source of law is Roman Dutch. And the Romans in the 13th century had this idea that if you owned land, you owned obviously the square meterage or the acreage all the way up to the heavens and all the way down to hell. That's what they thought, right?
Yeah.
The assumption is that hell is at the bottom and heaven is at the top, right? Our property law in South Africa is not like that. In fact, there's a reason why, for example, airspace, right? You don't own the airspace. A plane can fly over your house. Nothing you can do about that.
True.
Exactly the same thing with mining, for example. Somebody, let's say they discovered coal under your house. You can't just go and dig up the coal and be like, it's my coal. You need to go to the Department of Minerals and Resources and apply for the rights underground, and then they'll grant them to you. So owning a property doesn't mean you automatically own the rights underground as well.
Wait, so somebody can come in my yard and let's say they get a license and mine what's under my house without 100%. Me getting royalties?
100%. Well, 100%. Well, to simplify it, yes. It wouldn't be under your house, but in your yard. It happens all the time in Malanga. People own farms, but they don't own the mining rights in that farm.
So they have no claims?
No.
To the proceeds from which, okay.
Well, like I said, to simplify it.
Okay.
It gets more complex than that when you get to court.
Wow.
But yes, generally speaking, what you can then do is you can say, look, guys, you're gaining access to my property to bring your equipment over to start mining. So then they compensate you for that. Right.
Okay.
Then there's things called servitudes, etc., and so on. But that's now it's getting too complex. So maybe Mpumelelo Zikalala will help us explain, because he's a good friend of the show and he understands the law a lot better. Zikalala, good morning and thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning to you, and also good morning to your listeners.
Yeah. So maybe having heard the introduction, to give clarity on the question that Saul has raised, for example, when we speak of a servitude, what is that?
Yeah, a servitude is basically a thing or a right which is given to another person so that they can be able to use a certain portion within your property. Let me make an example. Let's say within the Gautrain story, there probably there's a servitude running under the house of this guy. So it would say, yes, you do own the property as per the title deed, but you own the top deck part of it. But we're going to give you a warning in your building plans and say that there's a servitude which is running across your house. It is this wide and this deep. And we're doing this so that whenever there's any construction that you'd like to make, you are well aware that that you shouldn't go within this particular level because you're going to start to disturb us. Now, we'd find that 90% of the time you buy the property when the servitude is there. I always use this example. If you look outside your house and you can see those Eskom cables running on top of your house, you must know that there's a servitude there.
Mm-hmm.
90% of the time, if there's certain water connections within your house, especially the water for firefighters, you must know that there's a servitude that is there. Now, all of that will be displayed in your title deed because your title deed basically gives you what servitudes are running within your property. And that's what you're going to use if you want to drill anything which is like that. But you don't end there. You then also go and say, what are the bylaws of this municipality saying in terms of the land use scheme or management of the property in which I'm in? It will change or vary depending on where you are and where you, when your property was built. In the older years, you'd find that maybe those ones would be relaxed a bit. But if, as you start going into the estate living type of things, and estates are now doing their own electricity, for example, there are going to be a number of things that you can't do as per the title deed in which you are there. But the most important one for me, it's the National Water Act. As you explained it very, very well, in terms of saying you may find water, but that water does not belong to you. It belongs to government. It's one asset in which it does not belong to an individual. And before you go and drill a borehole in which you're going to get exclusive water for you, it's unlimited, by the way, in terms of the kiloliters that you can get. But you do need permission first before you go and do that, because you're getting water upstream may cause problems for the people that are in downstream.
Mm. And so maybe then explain to us, if somebody were to just get a drill and start drilling with no permission and end up hitting a cow train, as the gentleman has done now in Kilani, is this punishable by law? What happens here?
Yes, yes, it is punishable by law because the cow train can go and claim damages. In fact, I think depending on how tough they want to get onto this guy, they may even want to say, let's take the property in which you are in, we're going to sue you for an X amount of money for the loss of business that you enjoyed. As you were saying in your intro, that the Gautrain are not moving, so I'm losing money as we speak. I'm paying employees in which are supposed to be working, but they're not. Secondly, what's going to be the repair cost? Firstly, identification of the problem and the repair, which is this, so that I now have to go into. And that is, by the way, if there was a perfectly written or the endorsement in terms of the servitude was listed on the title deed. So I must know what's happening there. So if you have not updated those details and I don't know what is written there, then of course I'm not going to know whatever servitudes that are there. So it must be updated. But if everything goes according to plan and it was updated, certainly Gautrain will have a very big claim against this guy, which may even lead up to the property being taken. But I think also Gautrain, what they must do is that they must make people aware. I don't know whether they're doing that as we speak now. But just the catch is to say, you know, we are running Gautrain under your property. Please note this is the following things that you must note and you must do before you start drilling any type of hole.
Okay. Now, you raise a very good point, right? Which is that law generally cannot be applied in retrospect. So if I buy a property in the 80s, right, and I get a title deed for that property in a place called Kilani, which was mostly a farm back then, and then there's all sorts of development that happens, and the Gautrain comes to fruition, which is also a very late project, mid-2000s, right? My title deed has no mention of a Gautrain because I got it in the 80s. You, Gautrainers, inina omafizolola. How now has this become my problem? Mina, I'm looking at my title deed. It makes no mention of a Gautrain, and then I start drilling. How do you work around something like that?
Okay. Remember that there would have been registration of the servitude, and the part of the registration says I must give a notice to the people that are now affected. Either we do it by consent, or if I have to force you for the greater good of the public, then I'll go to court and get that servitude registered. Now, the responsibility then falls upon the person who's drilling the borehole and also you as the owner of the property to say, let me just go back and check whether the previous owner that I bought the house from, did he consent to any servitudes being registered in this area? I just want to clear myself because I do not want to find myself in the trouble in which the guy is in now at a later stage. So you may have bought the property or there was no servitude registered previously. But any developments which are going to take place, you are the owner that must be there. And it leads us to another thing which is very important for property owners. When buying that house, don't only concentrate on the buildings, the cement and bricks and all of that. Also say, can I please have a copy of your title deed? I want to see and check what sort of servitudes are running under this property. Is that in line with what I want to use property for? And I want to check if there are any problems which are going to be there at a later stage. It even talks about insurance, because the question would be, 30 years from now, what's going to be the structural damage which is going to be caused by the Gautrain running under your house? You will need to beef up your insurance, for example. Are there any structural challenges which are going to be there? Are there any structural reinforcement of the manner in which the house was supposed to be built that have been catered for? If that has not taken place, it means that you would wake up one day and your house would be falling apart, and you would find that you can't sue anyone because you found the servitude there, you bought the house with the servitude there. And the law will simply say, when you were buying this house, you knew that these are the type of things which are attached to the house, and you went ahead anyway. So it's very important to also look at the title deed and check, what am I getting myself into?
Thank you very much. That's where we need to leave it. Pumelelo Zikalala right there. Good friend of the shows. Let us know if this is something you've encountered. A lot of people, for example, will find out that there's a drainage system that runs under their house, plumbing system, etc. and so on. Give us a shout,
086-000-00959. As much as the time they knew that there was a Gautrain as over corner. So what is the next news now?
How? When they were boring, from Limpopo, there was some gold deposits. But my parents are quiet. Nobody's doing anything about it. Youngsters are late. Somebody must tell me what to do. Could be sitting on a gold mine. It's called a poverty. Yeah,
you are sitting on a gold mine. Go to the DMR, right, and apply for mining rights for specifically your portion of land, Lapagin. Well, extend this again, make it your neighbor's as well. And then start digging. See what you can find.
Guys, I'm a servitude at well. Like, especially, like, literally, you need to go get permission. Back channel, when you do a house plan or whatever, they tell you, go to water and sanitation. Go get 1, 2, 3 so that you can see. And we had an incident whereby my neighbor didn't do any of those things because we were obviously building. So we knew exactly where the servitudes were. And he started digging trenches. And then I was like, he doesn't have an approved plan. There is no way. And guess what? We were right. And he was like, his whole plan was put to a whole halt by the OJA.
Mm-hmm.
Can this man, the house owner with the servitude underneath him, can he transfer the claim to the company that drilled the borehole in his house? Because I'm thinking the onus is on the company. They know the rules. They need to check everything. I mean, they are the experts in this. Can he transfer the claim of damages put against him to the company? Because I think it's unfair on him. Probably he's just a lay person like me.
Well, so I hear what you're saying. Legally, the term would be delictual liability, right? It's possible that maybe he didn't know and he hired somebody who that went about it the wrong way. So that's possible. He'd have to prove that in court. But essentially, right now, if there is damages, he's going to be liable. And then he can then countersue whomever these people are that did the drilling.
Yeah, because
to claw back however much they get him for.
Yeah, the company, I mean, if you practice in a certain space, you should know the rules. They should know the drill.
But generally, what people will say is they'll tell you how things ought to work, and then you go, don't worry about that. I go beg a court.
It's Maurice here, and I think I've also had the similar problem. I think on the case of my property, there's a sewage line that's running underneath it. And from time to time, at least once a year, it blocks up. And then it just floods my entire veranda, also the other gate entrance, etc. And then you got to call the city to come in and fix it. But it's interesting that servitude can run underneath your property. And I suppose my question would be, what does one do in that instance, especially when it creates such a hazard like sewage on your property?
Yeah, well, you just got to speak to a municipality and make sure they service it and they fix it. There's nothing else that can be done. They're not going to move an entire sewage line because of one house. Ziyakhala ziyakhala. Tsengile tsengile.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.